Hey, I'm Leonard Powell, and we're talking about my new album, Slow Mover.
I'd like to start by asking what your earliest memory of working on this project is. What was the starting point for you?
Yeah, so the earliest memory for this project would be going to the Whangarei Rock Shop and buying my little acoustic guitar, which was a Christmas present that year from my parents, but I got to choose it, which was lovely. But it was right before COVID, and I dabbled in a little bit of guitar at that point, but never truly dived into it. And my brother was, he's an amazing guitarist, but I always looked at him. He'd played since he was 8 or 9. So I thought, oh, I haven't played since I was a kid, so it's too late to pick it up. But I'd finally come around to giving it a go. And then, yeah, lockdown hit. Me and my best friend were at my parents' place, and I had the guitar. We'd just sit there in the sunroom each day, just holding it. Probably not even playing a lot of the time, just having it almost like as a crutch, just sitting there with the guitar. And if I know you like I know I do, I know I've got nothing to worry about. I've always been a bit of a daydreamer. I remember maybe 6 months after that, I started writing down, I don't know, EP track lists of songs that were only ideas at that point. And it's funny because sometimes I look back at them and only maybe 2 of the tracks have made it, but some of them were just ideas that never became anything more than ideas. But I started to want to make something. I think that year, 2020, was really where I started rolling with the instrument, and I kind of got through the beginner point. I could play and sing, and that kind of got me almost like the training wheels with, I suppose, making music. Yeah. When I started recording these songs, like back in 2020, my good friend Tane, that same year, he got me to play in his band Short Rib, play a guitar, which, yeah, I was pretty new to guitar, and that was a bit of a shock, but he kind of pushed me. He's like, oh, they're 3-chord songs, you'll be fine. Those first demos were with Tane in his bedroom, and then I was actually in America for 6 months in 2021, working over there. Long story, and a strange time to be in America, but I met a guy over there in Utah who had a friend of a friend, and he had a studio in his basement. So we recorded 3 songs, and they all made it to the album, but actually we did a version of Adam and a version of Over Aware, which is so different to the final cuts, but it was just cool to be getting them down. It's like, it was exciting to be recording them, but even at that time my skills in the studio were pretty, I'd say they were lacking a lot. So I was really fumbling through the songs, and they were quite pieced together, and they weren't really sounding, I wasn't loving how they were coming out. But then I came back to New Zealand, reached out to a few producers who I didn't know, because I knew I wanted to record it with someone who knew what they were doing. Reached out to a few people, and Tom Broom, I'd actually heard him on Radio 1 doing an interview about, he was putting some music out at the time, and he was getting interviewed, and he said, oh, you know, I've just set up the studio in Auckland, and if anyone wants to come, I feel like he was probably stressed out that he wasn't going to have anyone coming through, which was not the case. He's been super busy, I think, the first few years of having that studio. But yeah, I went and met him for a coffee out in New Lynn, and he's got an amazing space. And me and him just hit it off. Like, he's become a really good friend. But we were just strangers, and I hit him out of the blue. That was sort of end of 2021. And it was just me and him mainly. We'd do sessions every so often, sometimes every few weeks, sometimes we wouldn't see each other for a few months, and we'd just pick it back up and do piece by piece. And he's an amazing drummer. He's drummed for, you know, Homebrew, Aradhana, Bailey Wiley, oh, a million bands. I feel like he's drummed for a lot of people. Tammy Nielsen. He'd drum, I'd play guitar, and we'd kind of start stitching it together, which is a strange order as well, because I don't play much bass. So we'd send the tracks off to my friend James in Mangawhai, James Finlay, and he'd put a bass line on it and send it back, which is kind of crazy way to do it, but it worked really well, and James was amazing. He made it look really easy to do that. So loud, but I love her so. I love when she speaks loud. Inside voices are overrated. She says what she means. I didn't know that a veggie garden could make someone quirky. She's a lover of life, and I'm just happy living. But yeah, we started recording, and then it was just such a slow process because it wasn't like we were having a live band tracking it hard and fast. It was, we'd just pick it up when we had time, and sometimes work or life would get in the way and we'd shelve it for a while. So it just became really drawn out, but over the time that it took to record, I went through, I think, the full range of emotions. Like, sometimes I'd be so desperate to get this music released, and I'm like, I gotta finish it. We gotta get this done. Let's just, I wanna put it out. I'm done with these songs. And then come back to them, and I'd think, oh, no, taking time's all good. You know, we can, don't have to rush it. So that's classic. I think that's classic sort of full range of emotions when it comes to releasing music, of I'm over this, or I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I wanted to say I'm over the moon. Everything's on fire, but it's not all doom and gloom. I wanted to say I'm so happy with you. Everything's on fire, but my bucket is full. My bucket is full. Yeah, in terms of what I wanted it to sound like, I think I got quite influenced midway through recording. I just became obsessed with Andy Schaaf, who I wasn't familiar with before. Actually, Tane is a huge fan, Tane. But he told me to listen, and I never had. And then Andy was coming here to play in 2022, so I got tickets and went to the show, and just blew me away. Probably my favorite show I've ever been to, just the way they played, and they were so quiet but amazing doing all the parts. I got really into that sound because I was listening to it so much, so then kind of redid a few of the tracks to maybe sound a little bit more that style. Not that they do, but I'd say especially Over Aware, that used to be, that started off completely different song when I recorded it. When I wrote it over in America, it was almost like a show tune from back in the day, and it was really bouncy and like bright. And then me and Tom slowed it right down and changed the key. And the reason it's called Over Aware is because the original version had a whole last final section where I started singing about being over aware. And then when we made our new version of the song with a completely different style, it was just got a little bit hard to tie it together, so we actually, that's why it's going to fade out at the end, because it was almost like a, oh, let's just fade out of this one, yeah, because it was getting too hard to chop it up. Eyes never lie, yours were preoccupied with the weight of the world bearing down. It's hard to escape, there's a light on. Play, I can feel how tightly you're wound. When time's on your side, go for a ride and fall. Age is, I really like Age. It's almost like a, I say it's like a Mr. Whippy. Yeah, it's kind of almost sounds like a Mr. Whippy siren. And I actually wrote Age when I was in MIQ in Christchurch for 2 weeks after I come back from America. We got landed in Auckland and then you flew us down to Christchurch 2 weeks in a quarantine hotel. But I was learning like these old jazz classic chord progressions, just trying to get better on guitar, and started playing around with this one and switched it slightly. It all fits together really nice. And originally it was, why is it rude to ask a woman her age? Because I'd always, like, you know, when you're a kid, don't ask a woman her age, and a man as well, all that carry on. I wanted to write about it. And then I just thought, actually, everyone gets sensitive about their age. And I love the line actually about my dad. Dad always says, you're just at that age. Because like everything, as a child or just growing up, I feel like every time I had something I was worried about, Dad's like, you know, I think you're just at that age where that's happening to you. And it's probably bang on as well. But I always thought that was funny advice. Looking back on it now, it's kind of like a, you know, that solves most problems. The first version was really, really, really slow, and the same sort of arrangement, but just picture it like half the speed. And I was having a really hard time singing it because I had to draw the notes out a lot. And we had the instrumental done for a while, and I was trying to get around to finishing the vocals, and I took it to Tane's house to try get it across the line, and I was just butchering it. And he ended up just pitching it way up, almost sounded like a TikTok version, and it was just plain, and I just fell in love with it being faster tempo. And then I actually wanted to just put it out with that chipmunk sound, but Tom was like, let's maybe try re-record this, and I'm glad we did. But I was really happy with what we settled on in the end with how it sounds. And yeah, I love this track. Yeah, it's just your age, you know.
Why is it rude to ask someone their age? I'm not trying to be rude, I just wanna know your age. People get so sensitive about their age.
Started writing this one too around that first lockdown when I started playing around with the capo and those chords, and I wanted to do a song about mum and dad. Just got to the end of it and it's just a real straightforward verse about my dad and verse about my mum. What I like about it is the opposite of just how different my parents are, like talking about how dad never speeds and he's got cruise control on and mum's flying out the driveway speeding with no seatbelt on. You know, I've driven with her when it's dinging and she'll put it on. Sorry, Mum, I'm really throwing her under the bus. But no, just little things. Like, it's just funny. Sometimes it's easier to say nice things in a song than it is in person maybe as well. But it's just dedicated to Mum and Dad. And it's got this keyboard. The keyboard part right at the start of the song was just me banging on my little MIDI keyboard at home. Just was on GarageBand just thrashing away one time. It was one take and I didn't really know what I was doing. And then we just dropped it in, and I like how it kind of has that explosion at the start.
He was always softly spoken, but never too strong to show emotion.
Maybe looking back, it was sort of me airing out all my grievances with these just crazy facts that people hit you with in life in some ways. Like, there's a line in there that's probably the same person who says that you eat 12 to 14 spiders in a lifetime. You know, when you're sleeping, people say that you eat a spider. Well, there's all these facts, and I'm like, how do you measure that? Or how do you count that there's 200,000 thoughts a day? I think that's just BS. And then I just was on that. Well, yeah, why do cars go faster than 100 km? And I was thinking about it. I'm like, damn, I mean, it would probably be pretty safe if no cars went faster. But yeah, that's been the most controversial line in that song. I've had a lot of people being like, whoa, because it's freedom and because, you know, it's actually, you need the speed to be safe. But it's just funny. It's just a funny song. And I'm really proud of the lyrics. I feel like it's a strong lyrical song. I put it out as the first single. And I don't think it's the most catchy song or anything like that, but I think it's the one I was most proud of, maybe lyrical and songwriting-wise.
Forecast didn't tell you to wear your raincoat. Now you don't know whether to walk or run from the rain. as wet doing both of those things. That was probably the same person who said that you eat 12 to 14 spiders in a lifetime and think 200,000 thoughts a day.
Adam is about a good friend of mine, Adam. Yeah, it's the first song I wrote, and we used to play it when I was playing in Short Rib. They didn't have enough songs, so we used to play Adam live, and it was always really fun to play. And then when I was trying to record it, I was just never getting it right. And it's quite a repetitive song in terms of the chord progression. It sort of stays pretty steady throughout. It felt long. It was too long and too repetitive, and I kind of thought, nah, the other song's not the one. We'll just shelve it. And then actually eventually got the band in, Short Rib, got us into the studio. So that's Tane, Buchan, Ruben, Brooks, and Jack Alexander. And we played it through. We just played it live in Tom's studio, and it sort of brought it to life. And then I put some organ and some Rhodes overdubbed it, and Tane did some guitar solos. And suddenly it felt like it was all arranged in a way which I was happy. It didn't feel too long. It's a long song, but yeah, I was really happy with it. And it was the first one that I wrote. It was actually really nice to put it on the album. Yeah, it started off, it was quite like I almost played like a bossa nova style on the guitar. I really liked the studio version of it with all the different parts and the background vocals. And I feel like I needed to do that to flesh it out into a song that wasn't too same. I'd had the phrase parallel parking phobia written in my notes app for probably since I moved into Auckland City 2017-ish. Like, it's, I couldn't parallel park. It was so bad. And I'd get so hot and sweaty and nervous trying to park a car. And my passenger, if someone was with me, they'd have to hop out and direct me. And it was really stressful. Actually, we were on like a COVID isolation at our flat. And I just started mucking around on GarageBand and found the chords for the song and just put those words over it, and then I just was away and I kind of wrote it in one go. Yeah, it's quite a visual song. If you know Auckland, if you picture trying to park like off East Street, like by Galatos or something, and it's small space and it's kind of winter time and your car's fogging up, there's drunk people in the back seat being like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And just, yeah. Yeah, and actually I feel like it's written from experience for sure. Yeah, it's quite a story of a song, and then when we play it live it's pretty chaotic, which is a nice break from the mellow gentle songs. So yeah, it's a tale of Auckland City.
Now
Irish Summer is about my best friend, Matt McGowan, who is Irish. We met here right before COVID, sort of that summer. We're working at the same place. And then lockdown hit. Oh, we'd had this epic road trip, like sort of in that summer. And then lockdown hit and he was getting kicked out of where he was living. And my mum was like, oh, he can come stay with us. So he moved into my parents' place and we just had a blast. It was like, it's like when you're a kid and you ring up, oh, can I go play with my friend? And it was like that, but for 2 months straight. And yeah, he's been a big, big, big inspiration to anything creative. He's back in Ireland now, but we talk all the time. And I just had, he always talked about the weather in New Zealand. And he's like, oh, you know, but Irish, you know, the summer in Ireland. And I've heard stories that the summer in Ireland is like 2 weeks long and it's like winter here. So I was always dubious, but I just liked the title Irish Summer. So I had the title written down before I wrote the song. And then it's kind of just a trip down, yeah, memory lane of us hanging out over here, going to Academy Cinema, playing golf, just arguing about movies. Like there's a line in there, we watched Snowpiercer and I just thought it was trash. And even though he's a big film buff and he loves Snowpiercer, and there's this other movie, Dolomite, which I watched with Eddie Murphy, which I was like, that's better. It's, you know, so we were kind of arguing about that. So I just threw the very specific stuff in there. So it's really just a song from me to him. And I didn't like that's the original instrumental that we recorded in America way back. Did a new version, wasn't quite feeling it. Slowed it right down to an acoustic version, which was really, really slow, one take song. And that was going to be the final version. And we listened to all the mixes, got to the end. And I said to Tom, oh, let's just maybe, I just want to hear what that old Irish Summer song sounds like, because we hadn't heard it in over a year, been a long time. And we put it on and I thought, oh, I'm going to have another crack at singing this. And my voice over the time of recording had just actually got stronger and I could sing it how I wanted to sing it. So then we went with it and it just felt like a perfect place to end the album.
Surfing the white water, but he's dreaming of the great. Longing for an Irish summer, if that is even a thing. Put me back in that car, not a worry in the world. You're getting ahead of yourself, just make a U-turn. Above it, just know I'm not. enough. I haven't written the last line yet.
Hey, I'm Leonard Powell, and you're listening to Totally Wired on 95 BFM. Yeah, go commercial on it, you know.